Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, again from the Gospel reading, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus. He unrolled it and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is our text. So it's probably going to sound a little bit like a strange question, but I want to start with it anyway. Have you considered the ear? The human ear? You might take just a second to glance at your neighbor's ear if you feel comfortable doing so. And you'll find that it's a marvelous thing, isn't it? And even more marvelous, God gave each of us two of them. Your hearing may not be great. It may be worse than it was when you were younger, but still, the human ear is a wonder of the body. And I know that staring at an ear does not sound like a profound exercise or a particularly spiritual exercise, but I want to share with you a story of one man. His name is Whitaker Chambers. He wrote his autobiography, I believe, in 1952, and it was staring at his daughter's ear that changed his world. It marked the beginning of his break from communism and his movement toward Christianity. In his autobiography, Witness, he tells the story like this. "I was sitting in our apartment on St. Paul Street in Baltimore. My daughter was in her high chair. I was watching her eat. She was the most miraculous thing that had ever happened in my life. My eye came to rest on the delicate convolutions of her ear, those intricate, perfect ears. The thought passed through my mind," remember, this is when he's still an active communist, "no, those ears were not created by any chance coming together of atoms in nature. The communist view. They could have been created only by immense design." By immense design. Two of them sitting on the sides of your head. We confess that God created us, body and soul. We believe that he has given us our eyes, ears, and all our members, our reason, our hearing, and all our senses, and still takes care of them. Today, we already have witnessed a little miracle when Vivian May, with her intricate, perfect ears, was brought to the waters of holy baptism, made a child of God. Her ears, right there through that word and water, have been opened by the Holy Spirit. And she has been born again to hear. To hear what? To hear the voice of her shepherd, Jesus Christ, and to follow where he leads. That's why we have ears. First, to hear him. And then, to hear the voices of those around us. I think the ears are interesting as well because we can shut our eyes, we can close our mouths and hold our tongues, but our ears? That's another story. They're always open. We may learn to tune things out. We joke about having selective hearing. Some of us might have it and some of us might not. But our open ears are a gateway to our souls. And this is one of the things I want you to have in mind today. Our ears are a gateway to our souls. What we hear determines what we believe, and what we believe shapes who we are and how we live. I want to think now about what Jesus heard. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the baptism of Christ, and you might recall that at his baptism, he heard the voice of his Father. The words were these: "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." And being a true man, he needed to hear those words. He needed those words when he was tempted in the wilderness. He needed them when the sad, the sick, and the hungry crowds pressed in against him. He needed them when the Pharisees and scribes challenged him and questioned him, and when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and when Judas betrayed him with a kiss, and when he stood before Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, and when they led him out to crucify him, and when he suffered in body and soul on the cross. "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." In so many moments in his life, he had a million reasons to think that that wasn't true. His reason and his senses, those nerves firing off as he was being crucified, wanted to yell at him and say, "You are not the beloved Son. The Father isn't actually pleased with you." But he knew what he'd heard, and he knew that it was true. And even in his suffering and death, he could be confident that he was beloved, that the Father was well pleased with him. I think about how important that hearing was for our Lord, that he heard these words, and they shaped and formed his entire life. They enabled him to do what he did, going to the cross, carrying your sin and mine, giving himself for the salvation of the world. Of course, that was a couple years down the road from where we see him today, when he enters the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and sits down to teach. But even this was done in obedience to his Father, and this was done in faithfulness to his call as the promised Savior. When Jesus read the Old Testament, he knew, or he came to understand, that this laid out his entire life and purpose in the words of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. Consider Psalm 40, which says this: "You have given me an open ear. Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." He came as one who had an open ear and whose heart was ready to delight in the word and law and calling of his Father to do his will. Or the prophet Isaiah, who wrote of the Christ, "Morning by morning he awakens me. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn back. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." His ear was open to do the will of his Father. His ears were open also to hear the cries of his people in their need. And this is why he has come. And it is why he has come in the flesh. Our Lord, when he was born with those intricate, perfect ears, and our Lord, when he was crucified with what I imagine to be mangled and bloodied ears, but always open to the word and will of his Father. In that synagogue of Nazareth, when with deliberation and care he took the scroll that was given to him and he opened it to the words of the prophet Isaiah, we can see his entire ministry and life laid out. These are the words that he read: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Spirit of the Father is on the Son, and this is what he has come to do, You might have noticed that the verb there that he uses of what he has come to do is primarily the word for preach or proclaim. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came in the flesh, and he comes to us still to do something with words. Because he believed and he knew that his words had authority and power to do exactly what he said, to forgive sins, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to give liberty to those who are captives. What does it mean by those who are captives? I think about those who are captives through their ears to lies and things that are untrue. Go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 with Eve and the serpent. It didn't start with Eve's eyes. It started with her ears. The first thing the serpent did was speak. Did God really say? And then he said, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The first seeds of doubt and unbelief were planted in Eve through her ears. It is those false beliefs that then changed her heart, and that's what caused her eyes to look at the world around her differently, to see that fruit not as something forbidden, but as something that she ought to take and have. And so she did. It started with her ears. I think we should consider that. Consider your own life. What are you hearing? What are your ears open to? I mean, you could probably take a half an hour this afternoon and just make an inventory. My ears. Okay, listening to the TV. How many hours a week? Listening to the news. How many hours a week? Podcasts. How many hours a week? How many hours a week trying to do all of those things at the same time? Are my ears open to what teachers, what voices? Are my ears open to the needs of the people around me? Am I hearing them? Or am I shut off from that? We could even say, what conversations are going on inside of our heads? What are we telling ourselves? And don't ignore the fact that whatever we hear, whatever we take in our ears, we will begin to believe it. And it will begin then to shape and form our lives. It's time to take an inventory of our hearing. Because there is one who wishes to enter our ears, and there is one who wishes to give himself to us through our ears, and there is one who desires to be planted in our hearts and so to shape our lives and who we are. And it is our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the captivity that we have. He knows the captivity that we have to the things that we hear and listen to, and he knows the captivity that we have to the things that we tell ourselves and the voices that are circling in our own heads. And he has come to set you free. He has come to tell you that that is not the last or the final or even the true word about who you are or about what God has in store for you. You are not captive to the lies. You are not captive to the self-talk. Our Lord has come to make you captive to his word. He desires you to be free and at liberty, and to live as one who has not ears simply tuned in to all the noises of the world, or ears that are stuffed against the voices of the world, but rather he has come to open your ears so that you can hear him and you can hear those around you. That's why Jesus went to the synagogue in Nazareth, teaching God's holy word to his people at a holy time and in a holy service at a holy place. And that is why he's come to you this day, to put God's word into your ears, his people, at this holy time and this holy service in this holy place. So that what he said to them then would be true here today as well. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Or as it says in the original language, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. Jesus Christ is coming into your ears now. With all the gifts that he won for you on the cross, with all the things that he set out to do in his ministry, he is coming to give good news, and he is giving it to you. He has come to give you that liberty, to give you open ears to hear your God and your neighbor, to set free those who are oppressed. Dear friends, the same one who was obedient to the will of his Father, the same one who had an open ear to do what his Father gave him to do, is the one who carried out the work that was needed for us. And he hung on the cross. And can you imagine what he heard while he hung there? All of the things that were being planted into his ears and into his heart, that he would believe a lie. Well, the Father must not care about you because he'd come down and rescue you now if he loved you. And he held on to the word that he'd been given. Even with all the other voices chirping in his ears, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And for you today, in your ears, Jesus would have you hear that your sins are forgiven, and that those other voices are not telling the truth, and that you belong to him. You are a member of his flock. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I call them each by name." His voice, dear friends, that's why we are gathered here, because he is speaking to us again. It's as if our Lord steps off the pages of the scriptures in Nazareth, like he comes out of the book of Isaiah and steps into their midst. And today for us, like he comes off the pages of Luke and is standing right here saying, "You are mine, and I have loved you with an everlasting love. And my ears were open to my Father to serve you, and my ears are open to your cries and your pleas. And today, I've come again into your ears." And we pray, "Lord, open our ears. You were rejected in Nazareth. Let us not reject you. They were embittered and hardened against you, thinking that you were too ordinary, too homegrown. Do not allow us to be embittered or unbelieving, but open our ears that we might learn and hear and yield to you, Jesus, and to the grace that you bring, to the forgiveness you offer, to the life and salvation that you have. Blessed are those who hear and believe. Amen.